I'm Taylor Holbrooks, host of Morning Edition. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make live streams like this one difficult to keep going. Stand up for public media and help fortify WYPR's future. Tell your member of Congress you support WYPR by visiting protectmypublicmedia.org, and thanks.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio B with Judy Rusick, our intrepid theater critic. Judy, always good to see you. We're going to talk about The Mystery of Irma Vep. It's at the Everyman Theater. It's subtitled A Penny Dreadful. So remind us of what that is and how does it work on stage?
Well, Penny Dreadfuls were serialized novels in Victorian England. They were pure pulp fiction. They had horror, murder, romance. They were not literature. They were published on cheap paper to be read by the masses. This particular Penny Dreadful is a play by Charles Ludlam, The Mystery of Irma Vep. And the play has an action-packed, sensationalized, melodramatic style that owes a lot to Penny Dreadfuls, but in a loving, spoof, satirical kind of way. The late Charles Ludlam was the founder of a New York company called the Ridiculous Theatrical Company. His writing often included genuine literary references, certainly true in this case. I pulled out my copy of the script and I'd filled the margins with the names of playwrights and novelists and movies, Ibsen, Shakespeare, Oscar Wilde, movies like Wuthering Heights and Hitchcock's Rebecca, and Baltimore audiences will even recognize some quotes by Edgar Allan Poe. On stage, this all comes together into a zany comedy that asks, what are we really afraid of? Everyman also produced Irma Vep in 2009. That production was directed by Everett Clinton, Charles Ludlam's personal and professional partner. Quinton's co-starred with Ludlam in the original 1984 production. I interviewed Everett Quinton for WYPR in 2009. The plot of Irma Vep is very complex, but he gave a great summary. Let's listen.
The plot, it's your classic haunted house. Innocent actress marries the weird lord of the manor, comes to the house and meets the creepy butler and maid, and then it just takes off from there. And then there's murder, and there's mayhem, and there's Egypt that just got thrown in there.
That's the late Everett Quinton talking to J. Wynn Russick about The Mystery of Irma Vep back in 2009. So, Judy, why do you think Everyman decided to return to this play 16 years hence?
That's a very good question, Tom, and I was very curious about it. And in a lot of ways, I have to say, I think I still am. And Everyman hasn't just returned to the script, but one of the leads, Bruce Randolph Nelson, is in the show again. I should explain that there are eight characters, maybe eight characters plus a bit. They're played by just two actors. That's the whole cast. Nelson and Zach Powell each play four roles, male and female, a lord, a lady, their servants, an Egyptian tour guide, a mummy, a werewolf, a vampire. Initially, I thought one reason for this revival might be to give Nelson a crack at the roles he hadn't played before. But no, he's doing the same roles, roles he also played in a production at Rep Stage a dozen years ago. His roles range from Enid, the anxious new lady of the house, to the house's crude servant, Nicodemus. As Nicodemus, Nelson even seems to be wearing the same false buck teeth that he wore in 2009. The play opens with Nicodemus and the housemaid discussing the return of their master, Lord Edgar, and his bride, Lady Enid. I have a clip from that opening scene. Let's listen.
There are some things better left unsaid.
Bah! It's a free country, ain't it?
Shh.
Well, ain't it?
If Lord Edgar hears you, you'll find out how free it is. You'll find yourself without the situation.
That's a little bit too free for me. I'll bite me up.
We must stand by Lord Edgar. I'm afraid he'll be needing us now more than ever.
Now more than ever. On to say the worst was over. He's finally accepted the fact that Miss Irma is in her grave.
Don't talk like that. I can't bear the thought of her in a grave. She was always so afraid of the dark.
That's Zach Powell and Bruce Randolph Nelson in Everyman Theater's production of The Mystery of Irma Vep. So, Judy, you said that this is a spoof and a satire. Is the acting style also a spoof? Is it exaggerated? That clip sounded a little over the top to me.
Yes, you're right. The production is directed by Joseph W. Rich, and he's definitely going for extremes. These are especially evident because each actor plays both upstairs and downstairs characters. Nelson is earthy as Nicodemus, and he's hyper-refined as Lady Enid. As Lord Edgar, Zach Powell is almost foppish. He wears a Lord Fauntleroy blonde wig that he repeatedly flips back. He plays the housemaid as deeply devoted to the late Irma Vep, the original mistress of the manor. I brought a clip of Nelson and Powell playing Lord Edgar and Lady Enid. In a moment of candor, Edgar admits he's still haunted by Irma Vep. Lady Enid, as you'll hear, is skeptical. Let's listen.
Sometimes I see her standing before me as big as life.
How does she look?
Oh, very well. Exactly as she did when I saw her last 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
She won't let me go. I'm her prisoner.
She won't let you go?
Yes, it's horrible. I can't get rid of her.
That's Zach Powell and Bruce Randolph Nelson again. They star in The Mystery of Irma Vep at Everyman Theater here in Baltimore. So, Judy, you got two actors playing lots and lots of roles. There must be lots of costume changes. They pull those off without a hitch, as it were?
There are lots and lots, and the source of a lot of humor in the play comes from all these quick changes, especially because designer David Burdick has created very elaborate costumes and wig designer Denise O'Brien tops them off with equally elaborate wigs. The production has four dressers working backstage to make all these quick changes work. Plus, at one point, Nelson plays Enid and Nicodemus at the same time. I'm not going to give away how that's done, but costumes and wigs are a big part of it. But again, I find myself asking, why did Everyman bring Irma Vep back? This isn't a play that stands up to much reinterpretation. There's already so much jammed into it, there really isn't room for much else. Ludlum's script is like a fast-moving train. The actors get on board, and ideally, they take the audiences with them on a really wild ride. Rich does add some small comic touches. The housemaid says, clap on, to light a fire in the fireplace. And there's some new meta-theatricality, some direct appeals to the audience, for example. In his program note, Everyman Artistic Director Vince Lancisi writes that laughter and actors in drag were weapons against tyranny for Charles Ludlum. And I think that was part of the playwright's intent. But the result here comes across much more as an acting tour de force than a social commentary. I can't say I came away with many new insights.
Well, I will say that my favorite thing about the holiday season every year is the commercials for clap on, clap off, you know, the people sitting in bed turning the lights on and off. I like that part of, you know, the holidays. And you mentioned Vincent Lancisi. He's the founder of the Everyman Theater. We talked about this a little bit before, but he has made it official. He sent a letter to subscribers and patrons of the Everyman that he is going to retire at the end of next season.
Right, which will be the theater's 35th anniversary. I have followed Vinny and Everyman ever since the very first production, The Runner Stumbles, in 1990 at a church in Charles Village. Almost from the beginning, Vinny had two goals: to create a resident company made up of area actors and stage artists, and to keep Everyman affordable, which it does with a pay-what-you-choose ticket to almost every performance. Replacing the founder of any organization, as you know, is always difficult, and Vinny's going to be a hard act to follow. The search begins later this year, so stay tuned,
all
as
right,
we say.
So one more season with Everyman under the wonderful, inspired tutelage of Vincent Lancisi, and we will certainly have Vinny on the show to talk about his great legacy here in theater and in the art scene here in Baltimore. All right, thanks so much, Judy. Good to see you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Tom.
We're going to talk about Julius Caesar at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company in the first week of July. J. Wynn Russick, her novel is called Please Write a Novel in Letters. And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, WIPR News Director Matt Bush is sitting in for me. He'll discuss the city's multi-million-dollar opioid settlements, the future of the Aberdeen Ironbirds, and why Marylanders can show their state pride by having a refreshing orange crush. That's Maryland's official cocktail. So Fresh Air is coming up next. The actor Benicio del Toro is the guest. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You're tuned to 88.1 WYPR.